I'm Marty Moss-Cohen. Welcome to Radio Times. This Monday is Memorial Day, when we honor the men and women who have died in wars and service to our country. There will be parades with veterans and marching bands and Boy and Girl Scout troops in communities across the country to mark the day, followed by cookouts and picnics. There are still soldiers, Marines, special forces engaged in combat in the Middle East, Afghanistan, in countries in Africa. We don't hear much about what they're doing until someone is seriously injured or has been killed. We asked Marine Corps Sergeant Tim Wynn to join us. He's a mentor coordinator at the Philadelphia Veterans Court. He's also on the national training team for Justice for Vets. He's also a proud graduate of Veterans Court. He served a tour of duty in Iraq in 2003. And Tim Wynn, nice to have you with us on Radio Times.
It's good to be here.
What are you doing on Memorial Day?
Memorial Day, I'll actually be in Doylestown, Pennsylvania, with an organization called Shamrock Reigns, which they do equine therapy for veterans and first responders. So we'll be marching in the parade actually with our horses. So it's going to be a fun day.
It's funny, I was doing some research for today's show, and I kept running into articles saying Memorial Day is not Veterans Day. Veterans Day is not Memorial Day. Memorial Day, and yet we keep confusing the two.
Yeah, I think, it's a common misconception in society that people think they feel the need to thank people for their service on Memorial Day. And that's definitely not what it's about. Most people throw parties and have fun and stuff like that. But for us, it's about getting out, you know, such as being in a parade and actually honoring the ones that didn't come back.
Do you feel sad on Memorial Day?
Sure, I always do. I think, that day just has a sort of an aura around it where it's like, you know, for anyone that served in the military, especially those that live with sort of survivor's guilt, which is a common thing amongst veterans, you know, they think about the people that they lost. So it's a tough day for a lot of people.
What's it like to march in the parade?
Well, for me, it's getting together with, you know, the veterans that are still around here, still able to march in a parade, and just to get together, and like I said, I rather honor the ones that didn't come back with my fellow veterans because I know it's tough on them, and, right. And to be together with them and get them through the day, and you know, it's just important to be together that day. So
because it is a reminder, right?
It is, absolutely.
You were in Iraq in 2003, so early on in the war.
Yeah, for the initial invasion, I was there. We were actually in Kuwait before it even started, and then they had the shock and awe campaign, which many people watched on TV, and yeah. Then being a Marine, one of the first to enter the country of Iraq. So,
and then you came back, obviously, after your tour, and you've written about this in blogs and have been interviewed as well, is that you struggled coming back stateside.
Absolutely. Transition out of the military. At that time, we were fighting two wars, the two longest wars in U.S. history, and we ran them side by side. So when I got back to my base in North Carolina, it was pretty much dead there. It was empty. Everyone was out fighting these wars. Nice. So the transition was fast. And, I was back in Philadelphia within 72 hours. And 4 days later, I was actually arrested for aggravated assault.
Right.
So
I mean, you had a number of arrests. I mean, it sounds like you were struggling. Were you struggling with the aftermath of the war, the fact that you came home to kind of an empty base, that there was no one there for you?
I think a little bit of both. I think transition in any platform, whether it's even getting a new job or starting a new school for people, transition is hard. But when you come out of a war environment and come back into society and the pace is different and, you really can't talk to people about that because they haven't been through it. And it's not their fault. You know, I couldn't talk to my mother. I couldn't talk to friends. So it was hard to actually communicate what I was feeling to get my emotions out. So I struggled and I turned to the bottle. I turned to drugs and it led me down a very dark road.
Were you angry?
Absolutely. I think anger comes with it. And that anger comes from not being able to get your emotions out and bottling all that up. And, anger is definitely a big issue with veterans returning from war.
As you said, you went down a pretty dark road. How dark was that road?
Well, 7 arrests in a year of my life in prison. I had a daughter at the time who I wasn't in her life for the first 4 years because I was, in and out of prison. So it was a very, very dark time in my life. But, there's something called veterans courts that I think we're going to talk about.
We
are. They're able to turn veterans' lives around, and it's very important.
So how did you, after serving some time in prison and being arrested, how did you end up in front of a judge in Veterans Court?
So I actually had 18 months clean and sober at the time. And, you know, just because people put the drugs or the alcohol down, if they don't address mental health issues, they can still struggle with things. And, you know, with 18 months clean and sober, I got another arrest. We'll call it a road rage incident. Oh. And at this time, I didn't know what a Veterans Court was, but Philadelphia had got theirs in 2010. And, you know, I was told by the public defender I was going to go into this program. And when I got there, you know, I really didn't know what I was getting into. But when I walked in a room and I looked to my left and my right and I saw veterans just like me dealing with the same issues, we all had a mission again in our lives. And that mission now was recovery. So it instantly took me back to my time in the military, and I had great success in the program.
How much of Veterans Court is treatment, is mental health treatment?
I would say it's 50%. You know, you have to be engaged. There's a common misconception out there that these courts are a slap on the wrist for veterans. And that is not the case by any stretch of the imagination. Veterans that come into this program, they work and they work hard. You have to go to treatment. You have to go to mental health treatment, substance abuse treatment, if that's part of your treatment plan. So it's a combination of a lot of things, but there's also the mentor program, which I'm currently the mentor coordinator of.
Right.
You have the VA, you have the Department of Behavioral Health, you have all these resources right there in one room, and that's what creates the success for these veterans.
As you said, it was a road rage incident that brought you to Veterans Court. How was that addressed?
So I began anger management, and I also started going to a program called Healing Ajax, which is a peer-to-peer support program. And I thrived there because I was reintroduced to veterans who went through the same experiences I went through. I wasn't forced to sit in a room with somebody who had not been in combat and try to steer me in the right direction. I was surrounded by peers, and mm-hmm. we recovered at our own pace. We weren't forced to talk about anything. Peer-to-peer support is the key to success in Veterans Court.
Because of shared experiences, or you speak a common language, you sort of, you know things instinctively about each other?
Absolutely. I think a lot of times we can finish each other's sentence. And you can't, when you're in a room full of veterans, there's nothing you can say where the veterans in the room are going to look around and go, wow, what's wrong with this guy?
Uh-huh.
You know, we just get it. We understand each other. We deal with the same thing. So
what was it like? I mean, for you, I guess, to deal with largely, I guess, the trauma of war, did you have, quote-unquote, PTSD, would you say?
Yes. The VA had diagnosed me with that, but when I came back in 2003, their answer was to give me prescription medication. And it was easy to get. When I wanted more, I went and got more. That was their response at first.
Not talk therapy or someone to talk to?
No, it was, in order to get an appointment at the VA at that time, you had to wait, you know, sometimes 3 to 6 months. Because there was such an influx of veterans coming back. I'm happy to report they have changed that. They have mm-hmm. done a lot to, you know, rectify those problems. But at that time, the answer was medication. And it, again, led me down a very dark road.
Yeah. You're a mentor. So when you see veterans coming into the courtroom now, do you see yourself? Do you
Absolutely.
Recognize yourself?
Every single week, there's a younger version of me walking through the door.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes an older version of me. You know, you got a lot of Vietnam vets out there who, after years and years of, you know, being out on the street, using substance to get through the day, now that these courts are established, they're getting an opportunity to come in and actually turn their lives around after 40, 50 years.
In fact, I know in Philadelphia and other cities, there has been a big effort to try to get veterans off the street, and particularly Vietnam veterans off the street who, you know, decades after that war have got to be well into their, if not old age, nearly old age.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, I'm sure we all see them when we're walking around Philadelphia.
Sure. I mean, we've actually even had a World War II vet in our court.
Really?
Yeah, he was, he had some issues with dementia and he was off his medication and he actually pulled a weapon on a neighbor. So, I mean, we've seen every generation. I mean, but the Vietnam vets, they're, I like to think them as our older brothers
uh-huh.
and sisters, for that matter. And, they didn't get the same treatment that we got when we came home. So, we owe them big time as far as I'm concerned. to do all we can to, even if they have a short time left on this planet, we owe it to them to help them out.
As you said, when veterans get together, they know how to talk to each other, I guess, know how to listen without judgment or maybe shock, surprise. Does that mean that us civilians, we just don't, there are things we do not understand?
I would say there's things that you don't understand. I don't even know if that's the right term to use, but I think if civilians educate themselves, if they actually look into it, if they care enough to research veterans' issues, you know, you can actually go on justiceforvets.org to their website, and you know they have different a thing called psych armor, which is something that teaches you about veterans' issues. And what veterans courts are and different things that veterans deal with. So there's plenty of resources on a national level, local level, that you can educate yourself about veterans issues. And we all know somebody that served in the military. Yep. We all have an aunt, an uncle, a cousin, whoever. It's up to us to, as a society, to learn about this and to help our veterans.
The head of Veterans Court in Philadelphia is Judge Dugan. When you appear before him, what is that like?
It was a game changer for me knowing that man, he's an Iraq and Afghanistan veteran. He's an old 82nd Airborne paratrooper back in the 80s, and then he was a civil affairs officer, a JAG officer. So he speaks that language. He gets it. He knows how to talk to us. You know, the man, he changed my life. There's no doubt about it. I wouldn't be where I am today if it wasn't for him.
Wow.
And he was the judge in my case, you know. So I stepped in front of him as a defendant, and now I work for him every single day, so it's pretty unique, and it's just an incredible experience.
Is it because he had served and you felt you were in a safe place that would understand you, or was there something he particularly said to you that made such a difference?
I felt comfortable talking to him because I knew he was a veteran. He was actually still in the reserves when I was coming through court. He recently retired, I guess, about over a year ago, but I felt comfortable speaking to him, and, you know, the compassion that the man has as a judge, it's, you know, He just relates to us, and he's firm, but he's fair, and we appreciate that. We know how to take orders, and he gives out orders.
That does help, right?
You know, but I mean, it's just everybody likes Judge Dugan. I mean, it's you'd be hard pressed to find someone who doesn't like the man. So even the defendants that are standing in front of him, just the compassion he has and the knowledge that he has, he's just a good person.
Can you imagine then in 2004 where you would be today?
Not at all. I didn't think I'd be sitting here today. I didn't even think I would make it, to be honest with you. There was times where I thought I'm probably not going to live too much longer. So, but I'm happy to be here today. I'm out of that darkness, and I'm continue to work. I continue to help veterans every single day, and help them get to the point where I'm at. You know, no two stories are exactly the same, but I can use my story to help somebody else through their own story. So.
Well, I really appreciate you joining us today on Radio Times. Tim Nguyen, thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.
And he's Marine Corps Sergeant Tim Nguyen, again, mentor coordinator at Philadelphia Veterans Court. He's also on the national training team for Justice for Vets. Again, thanks for coming in. After this very short break, we'll be talking about Latinas and mental health. And do stay with us. We'll be right back.